Well, turn with me, if you will, once again over to the book of Mark, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses, we're going to focus in on 46 through 52 today. Mark 10, 46 through 52. I want to share a very difficult story with you, and I think it's very important. Go ahead and go to that next slide, if you will, there, Ben. On Thursday, October 20th, 2011, there was a little two-year-old girl named Wang Yu who was struck by a van, and it was a hit-and-run accident in China. And what's sad about that is there were at least 18 people that passed by, some going out of their way to avoid her. And then she was struck by a second van that did not stop. And she was finally helped by a garbage man, but tragically it was too late. She was declared brain dead at the local hospital and sadly died the next day. And the whole incident was caught on camera. It was on video. And there were many people who saw the video around the world, and they couldn't understand why no one would help this little girl. And one of the people who passed by and had refused to help said this: "This wasn't my child. Why should I bother?" A reporter covered the story, and she shouted at her own people, saying, "Shame on us! Shame on us!" Chai Ling, who was one of the leaders of the Tiananmen Square student protest, had this to say in his book, A Heart for Freedom. He said, "Wang Yu's untimely and unhuman death caused an even greater stir in regards to the value of little girls in Chinese society and the responsibility of families to care for them than any video in all of history." He said, "And this has happened in a country that seems to care less about girls than boys." He said, "China has 37 million more men than women and is eliminating girls through prenatal sex selection, infanticide, and abandonment after birth." He said, "Tragically, it's sad that it takes something like this to get people to care." You know, this is not a story that's easy to hear, and I almost didn't share it with you today, but I felt like I needed to because it really fits here with our scripture today, because there are millions like Wang Yu in the world. Many people like this little girl get overlooked and get passed by. Many people think of them as part of the surplus population, as Ebenezer Scrooge did in A Christmas Carol. No one seems to care about them, but Jesus cares about them, amen? And our scripture this morning reminds us of this. So let's take a look, let's read it together. Can we make sure that I can use my thing here? If you click over, I'm not sure what we're going on here, but I want to be able to advance these slides myself here. So go ahead and go to that next scripture, next slide, if you will. Hopefully this is working. So let's read it together. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Let's read it together. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up. He's calling for you." He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabbi," the blind man said to him, "I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has saved you." Immediately, he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. You know, one of the first things that we see here is a hurting man. And have you ever heard of the term herd mentality? We've probably all heard of that, right? It's kind of a a psychological phenomenon, and it's really when people or individuals ignore what they know is right, and they ordinarily wouldn't do things like this. They know it's right. They ignore their better judgment to adopt the beliefs or actions of a group of people. You know, for example, when people vandalize properties during a protest, you know, many of these people in their right minds wouldn't do such a thing. But the group begins to do it, and somehow they just get sucked into it. And they begin to do things that they wouldn't normally do. Well, I think Bartimaeus was a victim of the herd mentality. Because I want you to notice what's happening here. We understand that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, right? He's going there to be crucified. But he had stopped in Jericho, and now he's back on the road to Jerusalem. And with him are the disciples and really a large crowd of people, as it was with Jesus. I mean, whenever he was out and about, we understand that large flocks of people would crowd around him. And so you have this large crowd of people, this large group of people traveling on this road, and there just happens to be this guy, Bartimaeus, who's asking for help as they passed by. And what do we know about Bartimaeus? Well, we know a little bit about him. We obviously know he's blind, right? The Bible, Mark says that. And blindness was a fairly common thing in Jesus' day. It could be caused by, you know, a birth defect, you know, as we see that today. Maybe there was an injury or some kind of disease. Obviously, they didn't have the medical technology that you and I have today to help with such things. So there were many people that suffered from blindness, who were affected by blindness. And so many people, tragically, and I don't really understand this, but there are many people that considered those who were blind to be guilty of some kind of sinfulness. But it could have just been life, and life happens, and they were blind because of it. They somehow believe that this was God's judgment upon them. So we know he's blind. We know he's a beggar, right? There were no disability benefits back in this day. There were no government programs to get Bartimaeus the medical care that he needed. And because he was blind, he couldn't work and make any money for himself. And so if you didn't have anyone to take care of you and you didn't have any kind of program to help you, you were relegated to beg on the streets for someone to have mercy on you. And that was the case for Bartimaeus. But something that we might overlook here is that we know his name. He has a name. Mark mentions his name. And this is pretty significant because typically whenever you see Jesus performing a miracle, the recipient of the miracle's name is not mentioned. Not all the time. Sometimes the names of people that he did miracles on were mentioned, but mostly they were unnamed. But here, Bartimaeus is named. His name is mentioned. And you may not know this, or maybe you do, his name literally means son of honor. Son of honor. He's about to be honored that day. You know, by the time Mark writes his gospel, obviously his name is well known. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, okay, back to the herd mentality of the crowd here. The reason I say Bartimaeus suffered from the herd mentality is because this herd of people, this crowd of people, are tragically going right past him without offering to help. Just going right past. Even after the crowds of people had just heard Jesus teach and lead by example about how to love people and take care of people and all that, even though Jesus had just said, the greatest among you will be a servant, in their eyes, Bartimaeus is not important enough for them to stop. So one by one, the crowds of people fail to acknowledge that this man has a need. And maybe their mentality is, you know, I've got to remain with the crowd. I've got to stay where I'm at. We've got to keep going. We don't have time to stop this man. I want to hang with Jesus. And guys, if this wasn't bad, it wasn't bad enough. Whenever Bartimaeus realized that this was Jesus and his followers. He understood that this crowd of people, Jesus was in the crowd and his followers were in the crowd. And when he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," what did they essentially say? "Shut up and be quiet. We don't have time for you." And I want you to think about this for a moment. And this is really tragic. It's the people who were already crowding around Jesus who discouraged Bartimaeus from calling out to be healed. It's the closest followers of Jesus who tell Bartimaeus, "Be quiet. We can't be bothered with you." The very people who are crowding up around Jesus that want to be closest to him and follow him are the same people who are keeping others away from him. They don't want Jesus to be bothered by a blind man who's causing a traffic jam. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about it in my own life, because it's typically what I do when I write these sermons. I see how this affects me, you know, and I'm not just preaching at you. This is for me as well. But you know, here's the thing. God places people in our path all the time, doesn't he? Think about this. It's the homeless person that we see at the same corner day after day. It's the coworker who gets on your nerves. It's the neighbor whose leaves blow in your yard and it makes you angry. It's the cashier who puts the heavy stuff on top of your bread and squashes it. It's the family member who always seems to have a need or is very needy. It's the pantry client who seems to always show up 5 minutes after we've closed and have everything put up. These people God places in our path day after day. And it could be that maybe these people that God continuously place in our path, he places them there for a reason. Maybe he keeps them coming back time after time for a reason. Everybody else, they're annoyed by them, they pass them by, but maybe God is calling you to stop and acknowledge because they need to hear some good news. This brings me to my next point. Don't be too busy to hear the cries of the hurting. Don't be too busy to hear the cries of the hurting. You know, of all the people who had a real reason to not stop and help Bartimaeus, it was Jesus. Think about this. He's on his way to Jerusalem to die. You think about everything that's going through his mind as he's traveling there to fulfill God's purpose for his life and all that will entail. He's probably got a million thoughts running through his mind about what he's going to endure. It's not going to be good. It's going to be difficult. And we could certainly understand if Jesus had just decided to move on this one time. You get a pass, Jesus. You got other important things on your mind. We understand why you would just pass this guy up. He's about to give his life for the sins of the world. But in spite of all this, he brings the entire caravan of followers to a halt. Because Jesus heard the cries of Bartimaeus, didn't he? He wanted to prevent him. Others wanted to prevent him from coming to Jesus. But in the midst of all the noise of the crowd, Jesus heard the cries of this poor man who was blind and begging, who desperately needed his help. Church, let me just say, we need to hear the cries of people who are hurting. We need to hear their cries. And they're literally everywhere. Everywhere. Some of these people don't even know they're hurting, but they're hurting nonetheless. So what did Jesus do? He did what Jesus always does. He asked him a question. He said, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" Have you ever asked a question like this? To the people that are placed in our path day after day, the people that annoy us, the people that get on our nerves, the people that we have to go around to get on our way. Have you ever asked a question like that? To the people around you who you know are hurting, have you asked, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? Why are you hurting? And I would venture to say, not all the time, but I would venture to say, for most people, if you ask a question like that, and they knew that you already cared deeply about them, they would begin to open up to you. I told you a couple of weeks ago about a lady at our pantry, a homeless lady that we've been trying to help and trying to break through this exterior to get inside and see what's going on with her, because there are lots of issues. She wouldn't even tell us her name. We had to make up a name for her. And so this past Monday, we were standing out in front of the pantry, and I'd given her a cart to push all her stuff back to wherever she stays in the woods, because she couldn't carry it all. And, you know, we're talking about her life and everything, and I finally just said, I'm going to go for it. Right here, I'm going to go for it. And I said, you know what? I think you can tell that we really care about you here. We've tried to help you in a number of different ways. And she said, yeah, you have. I said, would you trust me by telling me your name? And she told me her name. I'm not going to tell you because I promised I wouldn't tell anybody. And I want to keep that promise. And I want her to know that we're trustworthy. But she told me her name. That was a big step. And I pray that we'll be able to get inside the exterior and inside and figure out what we can do to help her. But sometimes when people know that we truly do care about them and we begin to ask questions, they begin to trust us more. They begin to open up. And who knows what doors this will open up to us. You know, there are some people say, well, Pastor, there's just way too many people. I understand that. There are. There's way too many people to help, and we can't possibly help everybody that we encounter every day. There's just too many people. And I know sometimes our missionaries feel the same way when it comes to the gospel. There's just so many people that need to hear the gospel. I can't possibly tell everybody. I get that. And I look at this story and I say, just start with one. Just start with one. Bartimaeus was just one man, and Jesus stopped to see why he was hurting. We can't always get caught up in the masses of people, so caught up in the masses of people that we miss the very one person that God puts on our path. And so I say to that, pray for one person at a time. Share the gospel with one person at a time. Feed a person one at a time. Clothe one person at a time. Disciple one person at a time. Adopt one child at a time. There's always going to be people who need our time and help. But do you see the one that God has placed in your path? Do you hear the one? Jesus asked one person what he needed, and his life was radically changed that day. So that brings me to my last point. Don't be surprised when hurting people respond to the gospel. Don't be surprised when hurting people respond to the gospel. Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he could do for him. And what did he say? I want to see. That was his main problem. I want to see. And Jesus healed him right then and there. And how did Bartimaeus respond? Immediately, Mark says, Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the road. He became one of the followers. Amazing. Amazing. Bartimaeus is now a disciple of Jesus. He's going to follow him. Wherever Jesus goes, Bartimaeus goes. Whatever he asked Bartimaeus to do, he's going to do it. Bartimaeus had met a man who had loved him enough to heal him and meet his needs, and as a result, he said, I'm going to devote my life to this guy because he's the real deal. I'm going to devote my life to him. You know what this means for us? For us, this means that when we take time to help others and pray for others and feed others and comfort others, this gives us an opening to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus with them. And get this, when they truly know that we care for and love them, because we've spent time with them, because we've cried with them, because we've met their physical needs, they're going to listen to our message. They're going to listen to our message. So don't be surprised when hurting people respond to the gospel. There are many who believe that Bartimaeus went on to be a prominent leader in the early church. This is what church tradition tells us. And for one, I don't have any reason not to believe this. I can totally see this. Because his life was radically changed on that road. Jesus stopped. He heard his cries. He stopped. He asked him what he could do. He healed the man. He followed him. I can totally believe that he went on to be a prominent leader in the church. The love and power of Jesus radically changed Bartimaeus' life that day, and he followed him for the rest of his life. You know, many of us have been there, haven't we? We've been just like Bartimaeus. We were desperate, and somebody helped us. We were destitute, living in sin. And Jesus, in his love and mercy, comes to us, and we cry out to him, I need forgiveness. And he forgave us of what the most horrible thing that we've ever done in our life. He forgave us of that. And it's no wonder that we want to follow him because of his grace and love and mercy. Well, this is what happened to Bartimaeus. And this is what can happen when we stop to help people and love them and care about them. Don't be surprised when hurting people respond to the gospel. You know, you may not realize this, but the healing of Bartimaeus is the last healing miracle that's recorded in Mark. But get this. I don't think there's any coincidence in this. The healing miracles that we see in Mark's gospel began with a blind man and ends with a blind man. I don't think there's any coincidence in that. Daniel Aiken had this to say about this scripture, this passage. He said, like Bartimaeus, we were all blind until Jesus gave us sight. We were poor beggars until he saved us as our ransom. He said, we brought him nothing but weakness and need. And he graced us with his power and his blessing. He said, praise God, Jesus stopped and had compassion on Bartimaeus. Praise God that Jesus stopped and had time for you and me. After all this time, guys, let me just say, Jesus hasn't changed a bit. Amen. The same Jesus that stopped on that road and helped Bartimaeus is the same Jesus that we worship today and whose spirit lives inside of us. He hasn't changed a bit. And guess what? Jesus still has time for those who cry out to him. He still has time for people. Believe it or not, Jesus is still in the business of saving people and healing and loving. But he has time for those who cry out to him. Do you need him today? Do you need him? Do you need forgiveness of sin? Do you want to follow Jesus as Bartimaeus did that day? Become a follower of Jesus, you have to admit you're a sinner. You have to admit that there's a problem. And then you have to ask for forgiveness and turn away from your sins. And you have to believe in what Jesus has done for you. Believe in who Jesus is. He came down from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. And today he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day he will return for his glorious bride, the church. That's the gospel. We need to believe in who Jesus is and what he did for us. And then finally, we have to commit our lives to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Guys, let me just say, he can't be your Savior unless he's your Lord. He's your Savior because he's forgiven you of your sins, but we also have to make him the Lord of our lives to say, from this day forward, I'm going to follow you, just like Bartimaeus did. I'm going to follow you. You're going to be my boss now. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to say what you want me to say. I'm going to help the people that you want me to help. Even if that means you take me away from family and everything that is comfortable with me and everything that I love, whatever you ask of me, Lord, I'm going to be willing to do that. He can't be your Savior unless he's your Lord also. Maybe that's a decision that you need to make today. Andrew's going to come and lead us in an invitational song. You know, we do this every week, right? I mean, we sing this song and for some of us, it's like, okay, it's time to start getting things packed up or ready to get out of here. But don't do that yet. The invitation song is part of the service that we set aside so that we can respond in faith to what God is already placing upon our hearts. It's a very important time. And it's important because the Holy Spirit wants to do business in our hearts. And so as he comes and he leads us, what decision do you need to make today? Is it to follow Jesus for the first time? Maybe. Is it to make a commitment that the Lord would just change your heart to love people? I know for me, when I get really tired and bogged down and stuff, I get really cynical. I don't know why. I don't want to be that way. But when I've had a lot of stuff going on, I've dealt with a lot of things, ministry related or otherwise, and I get tired, I get really cynical. I don't want to be that way. And Leslie reminds me, that's not who you are. I think my thing is about to go out of lose batteries here, so I'll hurry up. Maybe God is calling you to have a heart of love for someone. Maybe the Lord has brought to your mind somebody that you need to stop and acknowledge this week. I pray that you would be obedient to that. If you need to make a commitment and you want to come to this altar and pray and commit that to the Lord, come do it. There's nothing holy or set apart about the stage up here, but it's just the act of coming forward and teaching him that means a lot to him. Maybe you need to come talk to me. We can pray through. Commit your life to the Lord right where you are. Whatever the Lord wants you to do this morning, I pray that you would do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for what you're doing in the hearts of our people this morning, the way you're working. And I pray, Lord, now as we have this song of invitation, that you would get a hold of our hearts. Lord, open our eyes to the needs that we have, the decisions that we need to make. Father, we pray for your will to be done. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus.